listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala Village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cleaning process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a
From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. Indonesian railway commuters set a new record by teaching over 1,700 students about train travel at the same time on October 2nd. The program held in cities like Jakarta and Surabaya, East Java, helped kids learn how to use public trains safely and care for the environment. It is part of the regular effort to encourage young people to use public transportation. Minister of Culture Fadli Zon emphasized that the government is committed to gradually returning Indonesian artifacts and historical objects from the Netherlands, including important fossils and the keris daggers of national heroes, in an effort to strengthen national identity and educate the younger generation. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Of Indonesia presents Youth Forum, where young voices matters.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yay!
From Indonesia to the world. Hi, hello everyone.
I think we can't hear you. Hi everyone.
Hi.
Piye kabare Jogja?
Everyone here, a lot of voices here to speak out loud in this very nice place in Seventone, Yogyakarta, in the special event presented by Voice of Indonesia.
I'm Aja from RRI Yogyakarta.
And I'm Ray from Voice of Indonesia. And we are here together in Jakarta in Youth Forum. Agri-Hustle Generation! Woo! Of course.
Look at my outfit.
You look amazing. Okay. Dazzling.
Thank you. So thank you 3 Seconds for supporting us in this event. And also, we would like to thank Sozo Clinic and also Coca-Cola Biscuit for supporting our Youth Forum Yogyakarta. Give a round of applause for our supporter. Yeah, and yes, we'll be getting deeper inside about food security, the role of food barns, also, and how we as young people, communities take action. Okay, so I do believe that these students from UGM, UPN, and also UMY, Institut, they study about agriculture, about food, etc. So, well, let's talk about this theme.
Of course.
Deeper from our guests.
And of course, and I think it is the perfect time to discuss this topic here in Yogyakarta, a city where a strong agricultural root, vibrant youth movements are ready to take part in supporting Indonesia's food security. And not to mention, you can always tune in and follow our social media. Make sure to follow our social media and Instagram in the VOI_official. All right.
Okay, so don't forget to follow our Instagram account because a surprise gift awaits you.
Indeed.
Okay, so follow now, okay? VOA.
VOI. _
Official. Okay, so follow now.
Follow right now. All right.
Okay.
And so, without any further ado, let us start the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And without any further notice, joining us today, we have our honorable speakers here on the stadium right now. And first, we have the representative from the Ministry of Agriculture, Enda Puspito Jati.
Woo!
The Vice Director 1 of the Agricultural Development Polytechnic, Yogyakarta Magla. And we have representative from National Food Agency, Nita Yulianis. Director for Food Alertness. And representative of Millennial Farmers, Asri Saraswati. And last but not least is from Teras Mitra, a knowledge management platform, Vitria Werde Ningsi.
We also would like to welcome the communities coming here, right? So please welcome for all the students for universities in Yogyakarta. Welcome to Seven Stones Cafe, Paul Bangtan Yoma. Where are you, Paul Bangtan Yoma? Oh, the green one. And from UGM. Okay. And we have students universities from UPN Veteran Yogyakarta. Yay. And we also have students from Institut Pertanian Instiper. Okay. And we also have students from Akademi Pertanian Yogyakarta. Yay. And last but not least, we have students from UMY. Give a round of applause for you guys.
Nice. Let us begin. And to start off today's discussion, of course, we must understand first what food barn really is. Because food barn is not just about giving cows, chicken, some food and grow steady for our supply, but it's also something else.
Okay, so yes. First, I would love to ask to Ibu Nita Yulianis from National Food Agency, right? So as we all know that food barn has become one of the President Prabowo's main programs, priority programs. So what exactly food barn is and how is it designed to address Indonesia's food security challenges?
Okay, this is very interesting, and I think this is very related to all the Gen Z generations now, because this is a strategic initiative that highlighted by our president and then should be carried by all stakeholders. including young generations. As a concept, this is the national effort, how we could provide food for 280 million people. This is very challenging and also as an opportunity, because this creates demands how we could fulfill this provision of food in Indonesia. And to this highlight, refer to our food law, that in maintaining food security, we should base on food resiliency and sovereignty. This is important because we are, Indonesia has diverse resources as a potential to our future, to Indonesia Emas 2045. And this is also should be carried out, not only how we could provide food as an availability, but also how we could deliver it to across Indonesia. Because not to forget that Indonesia have 514 districts or city, and also 38 provinces that vary on local potentials. I think this is the highlight, how we could appreciate what the nature has given to Indonesia, so we could optimize it. And also the highlighted as mandated in the food law, that it should be consumed in a diverse nutritional balance and also safe, because this is to endorse how Indonesian people could actively do and also productive in a sustainable manner. I think this is important. So I agree that this is not only the concept of reserve, food reserve itself, but also a greater effort. This is a huge effort that should also involve what our chief of NFA, National Food Agency, Bapak Arief Prasetyo Adi, always mentioned, that this also contribute pentahelix. We should also collaborate with pentahelix sectors, namely A, B, C, G, M. What is A? Is academicians. So this is all of us today. And applaud to all of you, because academician should become the main effort, the technology and also the implementations of how we could use the digitalizations in providing food, and how to elaborate in food system. B is the business sector, C community, and G not also the government at the central, but also at the local, and the last is the media. I think that is the most important, how we could gather with pentahelix sectors.
Okay. Thank you so much. So let's continuing on. I'm going to ask, from the point of view of the Ministry of Agriculture, Ibu Enda, what efforts has the Ministry of Agriculture made to maintain the food bank?
Okay, thank you for the question. Food burn is a very important thing in our ministry. So we have so many programs in our ministry. First, for young generation, we have to increase the regeneration of farmer. We have YES program. YES is Youth Entrepreneurship Employment Support Services. It is a collaboration between Ministry of Agriculture and also IFAD. IFAD is International Funding for Agricultural Development. This program encourages young people to manage farming, and also the ministry also support the supporting system is very big to them, such as mentoring, also connecting to market and so on. Another program in our ministry is we can call PWMP, PWMP. This is the growth of entrepreneur in agriculture. This is also for Gen Z and millennial. So in Ministry of Agriculture also give scholarship for the farmer children to continue the study to our campus. In Indonesia, we have two campus under Ministry of Agriculture, and we call it Polbangtan. It can be found in Medan, Bogor, Yogyakarta, Magelang, Malang, Goa, and also Papua. So many effort from the Ministry of Agriculture to support the young generation to interest in farming system.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ibu Enda. And as Padono mentioned earlier, yes, that some young generations think that being a farmer is somehow not so cool, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about young farmer? Mbak Asri, what are the main challenges that you have faced so far, and how can you overcome that challenges as young farmer?
Okay. Thank you very much for the questions. I'm Asri. I'm actually the representative of Millennial Farmers, and also I the founder of Agradaya. So I can directly to answer your questions. What is the main challenges? I think the most difficult way is shifting the paradigm. I mean, in a grassroots, usually we are interact with the local farmers. What we are trying to do is how our knowledge can be spread out to the community. So shifting the paradigm is very difficult, especially most of the farmers in Indonesia is the already old. I mean, like, not many people nowadays, young generation, wants to join in agriculture, right? So it seems so difficult, but if you can cope with these situations by doing transactions, actually, usually transactions creating many effect to the community, so then community can see what you're doing and they can follow you and might be interesting to what are you doing right now.
So shifting the paradigm.
And as we heard, shifting the paradigm is not easy to do because many people don't know where to start, and that is where the Teras Mitra comes in. So moving on to question for Teras Mitra, Ibu Fitria Werdiningsi. Could you share one example to us of a program or best practices that Teras Mitra has carried out in the area of food sovereignty or sustainable agriculture for young farmers?
Right. So we have this partner that works in Saburai Jua. This is a small island in Nusa Tenggara Timur. It's very dry, and we work with our local partner called Kupang Batanam. So this young farmer, they keep the seed of old rice, and because it's very dry, they cannot plant every of the plant they want to plant right there. So they starting this community, and they plant like not only the rice but also the tubers like ubi-ubian, yeah, and also beans and everything, so they can eat from what they plant from the island, because most of their food source are coming from Kupang, shipped to Kupang, and they do this horticulture. They plant the greens and vegetables, and not every area of this Saburai Jua can be planted because it's only like one or two villages around the island. And when they plant this, they can provide only a small amount for the villages. And what's interesting in Saburai Jua, they have this special sugar, liquid sugar called gula sabu. And this is very famous in there. They don't even have to eat. And they have enough by consuming this liquid palm sugar. And so they do not sell this liquid palm sugar because they need it most. Only if they have more production, they will sell it out. But if not, they will use it as their own consuming. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, most of the source are coming shipped from Kupang. And when they have land or they can produce in their land, they keep it by themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's they can survive. And it's been generation and, yeah, that's what they do. And this young farmer and also the old farmer teach the young the youngsters.
Mm-hmm. I think if they can produce more, I can buy that. Maybe it will help my diet.
Yeah, it's already in the market, but mm-hmm. mostly they keep it for themselves. Because if you just consume it like one or two tablespoon, that will be enough for the day, morning till noon, I think. Wow. Even they work in the farm.
Yeah, it will help my diet.
It will help my diet.
I'll contact them if you need one.
Okay. So, speaking of the young farmers, I would like to ask maybe the lectures first. Are you ready?
Okay.
So, speaking of the young generation, from what you teach to the young students, and maybe can you see some potential? Maybe some of them wanted to be farmer. Maybe let's start from the campus of UGM. Please give the mic. We would love to hear the opinions.
Wow, this is a sudden question.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyway, my name is Desi Utami. I'm from Agricultural Microbiology, Faculty of Agriculture, Universitas Gadjah Mada. If your question is about how we maybe promote young generation in order to be interested in working as agricultural sectors, maybe. Okay, maybe what we can do, agriculture is not only about digging the soil, but me from agricultural microbiology. So I'm working with the microbes. I'm teaming with the microbes in order to improve the quality of foods. So if we can teaming with the microbes using like bacterial beneficial microbes, beneficial fungi, and then also virus, then we can improve the quality of food, the yield, and also produce much more agricultural products that needing shorter time rather than just using the conventional one. So we try to promote it through the social media like Instagram and also TikTok, that agriculture is not about digging the soil, but also doing research in the laboratory that can help farmers to improve their production using the beneficial microbes. And I think it really works so much and works really well that students from different background from high school come to our university in order to learn about microbes. How can we team with the microbes? That's from me. Thank you.
And so right now we've talked about inside of the country. So right now I'm going to move further to the, eastern part of the world and the western part of the world through the Russia part of the world. Ooh, do you know that Russia is usually filled with snow? And so how do farmers maintain their farm and food stability? And right now, it is the time for something really exciting. We've got a special guest from PPI who's here to share his amazing journey and real experiences as a farmer in Russia. And let's give a warm welcome to M. Rivki Norohim.
I wanted to tell you story about how the farmer young generation. Farmer is not a job in Russia. This is an identity. I'm farmer. I'm so proudly to be a farmer. And despite raising by three factors. The first is patriotism. And the second is agri-technology. And the last is the ecotism. The farmer is not use the horses. They use a tablet and a drone for the farm. Yes, the high technology. And if we want to be like a Russia farmer, I think the ecosystem in Indonesia have been more development, more better. Thank you very much.
Thank
and
you.
See you.
And so, before we continue, I would like to say spasibo.
Oh, you speak Russian?
I speak Russian just now.
Thank you very much. And you.
And before we ask our honorable guests here, we would like to ask the topic to all the young generations here. And maybe like, what do you want to do to grow the farming and agri-innovators, being the young agri-innovators, by doing some innovation? Or maybe you don't want to be a farmer because the heat directly hits you and you don't become bening anymore. But there are many ideas for us to do.
So what would you like to do to contribute in building food security? Anyone?
You can stand up and introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Iqbal. I am from an agricultural college under the Ministry of Agriculture of Republic Indonesia. At our campus, many students create innovative agricultural products such as chips from aloe vera, skin waste, jam from aloe vera gel, and lingzi mushroom, and many others. These products are unique, but they are hampered by new branding and lack of competitiveness in the market. Can we discuss some solution for our product? That's all. Thank you.
So anyone else want to share their ideas maybe on what to do as young farmers and maybe share
while
something?
While we wait, I have gifts from Coca-Cola Biscuit and also voucher from Sozo Clinic for Iqbal. Ooh. Thank you, Iqbal, for sharing your opinion. Anyone else wants to share your opinion? Because you will also have that kind of gift.
Anyone?
Okay. Introduce myself. My name is Rafi Khairullah. You can call me Rafi.
Rafi.
I'm from Institut Pertanian Stiper Yogyakarta. Okay, mungkin saya menggunakan bahasa Indonesia. Saya minta izin kepada semuanya. Mungkin di sini saya ingin bertanya tentang generasi muda yang minat tentang ke pertanian, untuk terjun ke pertanian itu sangat sedikit gitu. Karena kita mengingat, karena saya kemarin melihat data di BPS bahwasannya rata-rata umur petani itu kan hanya di angka 50-54 gitu kan. Nah, kita melihat bahwasannya di situ peran generasi muda di sektor pertanian kita sangat sangat terbatas atau sangat sedikit. Kita juga melihat bahwasannya negara kita ini salah satu negara yang agraris, bahwasannya lahan kita kan sangat luas. Tetapi kenapa minat anak muda itu sangat sedikit? Mungkin di sini saya juga ingin meminta saran dan motivasi agar kami ini, para pemuda ini, lebih tertarik. Mungkin dari ibu-ibu materi bisa memberikan saran dan jawaban. Terima kasih.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
So what Rafi said is basically what can you give from the speaker to motivate the young generation to start farming and start thinking that farming is not a job, but
and job for older people,
but for the young generation. Mm-hmm. And so thank you so much, Rafi, and please accept our gift.
Yay.
So all right, that was really insightful, and thank you so much for the questions. And now let's continue hearing from our guest on how can you motivate yourself to start farming. Thank you, Rafi. The question is basically the same. Okay, so let's start from the millennial farmers. Okay. So what motivated you to enter the world of farming, especially amid the challenges of farmer regeneration and lack of youth interest in the sector? For me, I played Farmville in Facebook, and it really motivates me. Yeah, am I still young after saying that? But yeah, we would like to know. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the questions. Yeah, let me introduce my background, because my background is actually not from agriculture, but I agree with you, Ibu, Ibu Desi. Mm-hmm. My background is chemical engineering bioprocess.
Ooh.
So most of my friends graduated from my campus usually going to oil and gas. Chemical engineering going to oil and gas is like a very old song. But then when I studied in Malaysia, and I'm working in Malaysia, and I'm going some research institution in Singapore, working in several institutions. And then at that time, I was joined one movement named Indonesia Mengajar, most probably known of this movement, I think. And then I come back to Indonesia. And when I come back to Indonesia, I saw there are so many potential of Indonesia, local potential like resources, forests, agriculture, that I didn't know. Because I working and studying in overseas, so I don't know about this. And when I was in Indonesia Mengajar, I living in the forest, literally in the forest, you got very difficult to find clean water, electricity, and all things. But I know this forest can be processed, becomes very high quality, high value materials. So after 1 year in Indonesia Mengajar, me and my friends from Indonesia Mengajar told me that, do you want to go back to the corporate life? Some of them yes, and some of them no. And then I'm moving to Jogja in 2015 and decided to build Agradaya, because from that reason, there are so many potentials, but I think there are not many young generation want to join. And I think also the knowledge, I don't know, there's the many disconnecting between who has the knowledge in Indonesia and also the markets. So the question is, why many people from in Indonesia doesn't want to involve in agriculture? I think it's because of the education systems. Is there any of you the son of the daughter of the farmers? Also, I want to... Here, yeah. So most of you, probably your parents told to you that don't be a farmers. You have to going outside, become a bankers, become a PNS, become soldier or whatever. But then what happened if this going in the same day in the future, and then there's nobody wants, young generation wants to go back to the village, right? So that's the simple things, because of the education systems. Education systems in Indonesia, I think, doesn't make sense for you. The young generation wants to going back to the agriculture, because it doesn't give you any benefit. It looks like very bad and all the things. And the second thing is about, for me, the gap knowledge. The gap knowledge in Indonesia is very huge, from the academicians to the grassroots. I don't know why, but it's very huge. So this is the thing that we are trying to solve, actually. And I think as a Gen Z, agency is for me is a one generation that very adaptive and very agile. So I think beside following the path, oh yes, I just want to be a old farmers, like digging the soil. Yes, you can be a farmers like that also, but why don't you put the technology, introduce the technology? And I saw also about the post-harvest process. Agriculture in Indonesia, usually what I saw is only about the on-farm system. Post-harvest, like Ibu told that, actually microbiology is also part of the agriculture. I think a food also part of agriculture. So we try to expand the view of agriculture so it can be more, it's like a tech startup. I think most of you want to go into tech startup, and then I think agriculture can be as sexy as tech startup also.
As sexy as startup. Right?
Okay, so now I would like to know from the POV of another lecture from Bapa. Maybe you can tell us about the point of view. Do you think that the young generation can think?
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Cahyo Wisnu Rubianto, and I am a lecturer of agribusiness of Universitas Muhammadiyah Yogyakarta. And my background was graduated from GIFU University as a master and also doctoral. And now I am working research with the Tokyo University of Agriculture and also the Tokyo University of Agriculture and Technology and also Kyoto University, recently in Indonesia. And related to these questions before from the students is really important. So if you see, the agriculture problems is really complex. Of course, many of programs from the governments already improve how they push the younger generation to involve in agriculture. In my research, the important thing is not shifting the paradigm, but I think to keep the activities as agriculture. My study in Cilacap Regency, this come from Cilacap. Cilacap Regency, as you know, is one of the food or rice production in the Central Java. And the result of my research in Cilacap Regency, working with the Universitas Sebelas Maret, Universitas Brawijaya, and also working with the Universitas Andalas. The result is, from the past 30 to 60 years, the rice field is still there. They don't change because of younger people working in the outside, abroad, as migrants, and they bring all the salary to the village to become more, have more farmland. So that's why this is the keeping the paradigm is really important. How the farmland is very important for ourselves as the main strategy of livelihood strategy, and also for the, how can I say, survival, especially in the, during the COVID, after COVID, and the, now the situation, war situation, and so on. And also the another research, in the latest research from Tokyo University in Gunung Kidul, especially in Yogyakarta.
Okay.
The farmers, mostly from 45 years, they come back to the village. This is really difference between in Japan situation. In Japan situation, the younger generation just left the village and the village become abandoned.
Okay.
So, but Indonesia, they still in the, how can I say, they from 18 to 45 years, they working in the industrial, but after 45 years, this is the unique of Indonesia.
Okay.
And they come back to the village to become a farmer. So okay. I think to keeping these activities and keeping the paradigm for this one is really important to improve the agriculture, especially for rural developments.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Give a round of applause.
You're still on Youth Forum by Voice of Indonesia. Youth Forum, where young voices matters.
Welcome back to Youth Forum Agri Hustle Generation. Okay. So we've come to our last segment, and I think we have heard a lot of stories about how agricultural in Indonesia, right? Mm-hmm. So what about the action? What should we do? And what can we do as young generation to improve the farming sectors and agricultural sectors here in Indonesia?
So this is the collaboration where it is really important for communities, the government and youth to work together to build a strong, sustainable food boards. And hopefully, today's forum will inspire everyone here to take part in building a food secure future for Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And so, without any further ado, let's begin the third segment, starting from...
So, we would love to ask Mbak, a millennial farmer, because we would love to youngsters get inspired by you, right? So, in your opinion, actually, what can we do to encourage more young people to do farming and to be involved in agricultural sector and building the national food security that President Prabowo Subianto has mentioned to be one of his priority program.
Okay. Thank you very much for the questions again. The first thing first, as Indonesian, we have to know what we have. I mean, like, when I was in 20, I think, I don't know what Indonesian really has. Like, I don't know what inside of the forest is it. But right now, I have 3 kids. I bring my kids to the forest, even the holiday. Because my parents didn't teach me what is inside the forest, what is inside in under the water of Indonesia. So I think I'm not really Indonesian, and I don't know what inside of Indonesia itself. So after you know, try to explore another world. I mean, if you have a scholarship or something, learning in overseas, and then you can upgrade it, your knowledge, and know the market is very huge. If you saw, there is example, suket in Jawa. Suket in Jawa. I always tell my business partner, I get asked from Korean skincare company to extracting the suket, you know, suket about
grass. Herbs,
yeah, grass. Because in my village, in I live 1 hour from here, Bode, always told me, what is it, ma? This is suket. Why you want to cultivate all the suket? It doesn't have any advantages. But suket, which is Centella Asiatica, you guys know the girls?
Yeah.
For skincare. It can give you the health benefits, so your skin becomes glowing. It's originally from Indonesia, sayang. Most of you don't know. Itu rerumpu, kan bahasa Indonesia. It's actually grass and herbs. It's wildly grown everywhere. But when my current business partner told me, it's from, do you have the cultivations? No, I don't have. I can give you the sample. I can give you the standard. So meet to your pharmaceutical standard. But then when they're asking about the productions, huge production, Indonesia doesn't have the cultivations. There's so many wildly grown plants such as binahong, I don't know in English, binahong, daun insulin, that many pharmaceuticals company need it, but Indonesia, there is no cultivation. I think we have to know, in the beginning, we have to know what we have. So in the future, we can make it like a timeline or step by step until become a manufacturers. So Indonesia, this is what we call as hilirisasi. Kalau debat capres kemarin, right? Hilirisasi or upstreaming, downstreaming, downstream. This is the downstream process in the village. Downstream doesn't mean you have to making a smelter of nickel smelters. It can be suket. Hilirisasi, ya kan? So this is what I did in Agradaya actually. So asking for Mbode to start developing the to start developing the cultivation down insulin, down binahong, and also suket-suketan. So we can doing the hilirisasi or downstreaming process in the village, and more young people going to the still stay in the village, not going to the overseas or over province or whatever. So still in the village and making a small manufacture or processing in the village, so village can be absorbs more young people to work in the village.
So something that we usually take for granted, actually indeed, worth millions, right? Okay, so moving on to
the speaker from the From the Terras Mitra. Could you share one example of a program or best practice that Terras Mitra has carried out in the area of food sovereignty or sustainable agriculture?
Okay, so we have this highlighted program in Terras Mitra. We have Sekolah Kampung. We call it Sekolah Kampung or Village School. This is an informal school that we initiate in some remote area in Indonesia where everyone is a teacher and everyone is also students. So this is not solely about agriculture or knowledge about farming, but it's more to the local knowledge. So we have this series of curriculum. So in Sekolah Kampung, we have three highlighted agenda. One is about literacy. So they learn, it's not about books, but also learning from the practitioner, from the mentors, like that. And two is the safe place, Ruang Aman, because this is now like a huge issue for the youngsters, right? Mental health and everything. And the other one is production basis. Mm. So in production basis, we held like a series of workshop about preparing this community, mostly run by the youngsters, about what to prepare if they want to start the business in agriculture or what they have potential in their place. They have the honey, they have the organic farm, they also have the, what I mentioned before, the vegetables, the rice and everything, what they have in their potential. So we have this, besides we have a series of training and then coaching, we have mentorship. So after that, what? At least we have a simple business plan for what they have. So that's if they want to run the business. But on the other hand, we also have workshop that we send the expert to come to their place and what they need about what fits this place, what kind of plan that fits in their area, and yeah, about that kind of series. But this is not solely like one-time workshop or one-time trainings. This is a simultaneous and continuous trainings that we conduct with this young farmer, young community, and the one who works in this Sekolah Kampung, and all based on voluntary base, the one who works in Sekolah Kampung. Oh. We are now working in Saburai Jua. We have one Sekolah Kampung. We have one in Bali, in Nusa Penida, but every of Sekolah Kampung has their own distinct curriculum. So in Bali, it's mostly about cultural, but in Saburai Jua, it's more about organic farming. And in Semau, this is about how they can use their sorghum. Because before sorghum, they use the sorghum to feed their cows. This is not this is not cool to eat sorghum. Mm. So when we do this little campaign and everything, yeah, they start to eat this, not solely eat the rice. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. And so I would like to ask another question for the National Food Agency.
Right.
What acceleration strategies are currently being implemented to establish food barns in various regions, particularly in areas with high levels of food insecurity?
Okay, this is interesting because as I mentioned before that Indonesia is a very huge country. So it consists of 70,000 islands. So it's very challenging. And then the provision of food in Indonesia has to do with also affordability. And therefore, in maintaining food availability and also affordability across Indonesia, the accelerations based on the three pillars of food security that basically based on resiliency and also sovereignty. And then the first pillar is we should always maintain how the food is available. That's why we encourage community, especially the Gen Z right now, as a food producers. As food producers, not merely only as a farm level, but also how to downstream, because added value could increase also the sustainably. And then the secondly is about how we also use the affordability, especially in the islands, because there are efforts how we could facilitate food distributions from the areas that produce food to the consumer cities, the one that do not produce food, because Indonesia is a huge country. This consists of islands, so we have different approach if compared to other countries that is mainly on land. So this become also potential for all of you as a food producers. And also not to forget that the third pillar is also how we could maintain the utilizations of food based to increase our health to productive. And then this is the important, that food in Indonesia is a potential opportunity to become a basic of empowering community, because food is always needed every day. Could we postpone the need of our food?
No.
That's why food is a potential basis, any kind. Not only the main staple food, but also the one that's shared by our farmers here, through Agridaya, is also not only the major, the one that produce food, but also how we could optimize Indonesia as mega biodiversity. Indonesia is ranked number 2 in the world. So sometimes we forgot about this. As an example, last year I was appointed by Chief of NFA as a head of delegates to Peru in APEC meeting. There I found, do you know Ciplukan? Do Indonesia consume ciplukan? No, I don't think so, because I just know also last year. But there ciplukan become the main export. So sometimes we need to think beyond. Sometimes that is not really precious in our minds, but actually when we think truly, and then we develop the product that is really in Indonesia, I think since we are mega biodiversity country, there are a lot of variety of food that we could explore. So perhaps the task for the young generations, the farmers Gen Z, seek out what is your potentials. I think this is the first part. And then secondly, do not forget how we could also create demand. Because if we only think about how we could produce the food, but we forgot to channeling up with the market, sometimes it will be like a jet lag. So if you are thinking about producing one kind of a food product or its added value, also connect it with the off-taker, collaborate, because we cannot solely do it by ourselves, but we need partners. That's why Gen Z should have like a networking, be as many as possible, so we could become Indonesia Emas 2045. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ibu. I think we have come to an end. But before we end the session, I would like to hear a statement or maybe the hopes from the Ministry of Agriculture, how Indonesia, especially youngsters, young generation, can do something to our future, to secure our food barns and also to expand our export, something like that, as Ibu said. So what can we do?
Okay, thank you for the question. But before I state about the hope, let me explain about two parts of agriculture. Okay, actually agriculture is divided into two parts: upstream agriculture and also downstream. We already discussed about downstream, but we didn't discuss about upstream. What is upstream agriculture? Upstream agriculture is start from the planting, maintenance, and till harvesting. This is the big problem in our country. But downstream but downstream, yeah, processing, marketing, and so on. The millennial or Gen Z can involve to the program, but in the upstream, yeah, I said that lack of any Gen Z there. So this is the big problem. That's why the Ministry of Agriculture now have the program like Brigade Pangan. Maybe one of you or some of you already heard about Food Brigade. Yeah, Brigade Pangan is a group of young people, young generation, age 19 to 39, yeah, 39 to manage agricultural in downstream, because, upstream, because upstream is very big problem in our country. So if the Gen Z only do in downstream process, then who will do in upstream? We know that our country, the farmer in our country, the average age is about 58 years old. So so who will do the upstream? So me, I'm from Ministry of Agriculture, ask you to join in the upstream process, not only in downstream process. So this is my hope. And actually, the millennial and also Gen Z have three similar characteristics: confident, creative, and also connected. So I have 5 keys to succeed as a Gen Z. The first, you have to high adaptability, creativity, critical thinking, empathy, and also once more, we have to have a partnership like this, because we can do anything, but without partnership, we are nothing. So I hope the young generation in Indonesia will see agriculture not only a job, but a bright future, bright opportunity, because with your creativity, with your technology, with your innovation, you can create something to solve any problem agriculture in our country. So with your contribution, I'm sure we will get, I think, what our president goal in Astacita number 2 about swasembada pangan, or you can call it food self-sufficiency. For food self-sufficiency, we need your contribution. Our first president said that give us 10 young generation and I will take the word, and I hope one of you in this room. Thank you.
Give
so
a round of applause for our 4 speakers. Yes.
And absolutely, but remember, no need to wait until you become viral to act. And of course, let's start from ourselves, from our homes and maybe our communities, and let's secure food for today and the future.
Okay, I'm Acha.
And I'm Ray, and see you in the next Youth Forum from Voice of Indonesia.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you.
You've just joined Youth Forum by Voice of Indonesia. See you in the next Youth Forum. Youth Forum, where young voices matters.
Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRIN. Voice of Indonesia. VOI. Thank you for joining us on Indonesia Today, only on VOI and RRIN.
The 2025 Mandalika MotoGP takes place in Lombok, Indonesia from October 3rd to 5th.